with that observed moment of silence. My apologies. I didn't realize I was talking with Tim Humphrey about all sorts of exciting things that you are going to hear, because it is time for the monthly meeting with Tim Humphrey. And John is screening your calls if you call. But first, I think he's probably turning down the volume, is my guess, because he's running over there. All right. So with that in mind, the deal is 888-876-5593-8888-ROLLYE. That's the phone number to reach Tim Humphrey. There could be a quiz later, so write it down. Now, in the meantime, it is the monthly meeting of Gila County Supervisor District 2, Tim Humphrey. Welcome, Tim.
Well, thank you, Rolly. How are you this evening?
I can't complain.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad the weather's changing. You know, I like that little chill in the air.
Me too.
Yeah, it's kind of nice.
And that's one of the neat things about Globe Miami, because in the valley, it doesn't really cool off that much at night. Yeah. But here, it's already jacket weather at night. And, you know, for me, Thanksgiving's coming, Christmas's coming. I want to feel that chill.
Oh, yeah, no, and I like the season change. Go from old cut up loose shirts and shorts to, okay, now it's time to pull out the long sleeves and, yeah. Oh, hi, shirt. I haven't seen you for 4 or 5 months, and you were one of my favorites in the wintertime. So, yeah,
well, that's
so.
Right. And, you know, you put it on, and you kind of pat yourself on the back. It still fits.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, well, good news. I think last time I was here, I talked about going to the legislative conference and trying to get support from other counties on blight.
Uh-huh.
And so what I did is I reached out to them and I presented to the other counties in legislative conference that would they support me in going to the state legislature to get our treasurers to document who's paying taxes on what property, which is no biggie because you own property, they know who pays the taxes. But for like the deceased people, or people that have deceased, who's paying their property taxes to get it, to keep it from going into a tax lien sale?
You know, that's a good point, because you can obviously go online, see if the taxes are paid, but it doesn't say who paid them.
Right. And so then also, too, there are these corporations and people that that buy the tax liens, and then they pay the tax lien to the point that they can foreclose on the property and own it.
Right.
Well, they don't. And they don't have to do anything for 10 years, and then it goes back to the tax lien sale. So that's a lot of our blight problem, and two of the major. And so what I did is I brought it up to go to the state legislature about getting our treasurers, or getting legislature to have the treasurers keep document on who is paying taxes on property, whether it's a huge corporation and tax lien. So anyway, I just to see where it went in you know, the eyes of the other counties. And so I got the majority of the other counties thought it was a great idea, because they have blight issues for the same purpose. So they would have supported me going to legislature. And so what I did is I told them that, okay, I'm gonna back off this, because I don't think it's real important to bother the legislature with at this point. But I'm glad you have your support. I'm glad I have the other county's support. And so going forward, I told them what I would do is come back and talk to our county attorney to see if he will support me in... If people are paying taxes on a property, they become liable for that property.
Absolutely.
I mean, if my mom is old and I'm paying her taxes, I ought to be liable for her property. Or if someone has deceased and they're paying. Or if you're a corporation and it's sitting in that 10-year bank, burnt down, have transients on it, and things of that nature, and the neighbor can't do anything, and I can't do anything to help the neighbor.
Right.
And so when I got back from legislative conference, I met with Mr. Beauchamp, and he thought it was a great idea, and he is researching that, because there's got to be it's got to be supported by law somewhere, because if state legislature does somehow pass a bill that the treasurers of the state of Arizona need to keep record of who's paying the tax bill, we need to go somewhere with that, because a law without no means is kind of silly. And so right now that's kind of where it's at. But I thought I felt really good that I had the support of the majority of the other counties in supporting me in trying to work on that. And they're also meeting, working on what we can do about those two issues that create blight in the state of Arizona, which should be a legislator's interest.
Absolutely. This is so huge, and you're right. Across the board, it affects virtually every county, even the large counties.
Sure. And I can't imagine nobody has looked into this before and said, I don't know. It's like, yeah. But anyway, so I felt really good about that. And I just met with Mr. Beauchamp, a couple days ago. And so he's looking into it, and I have a lot of respect for him. And, he will get with whatever he needs to find out information to see if we are able to hold people responsible. Because he also said that, Tim, these people can't, the property's got to have an owner.
Right.
I said, Mr. Beauchamp, it does not. We have tons of properties in Gila County
that do not have owners.
Do not have an owner.
Correct.
And so we need to change that. And I showed him multiple pictures, and he says, wow. That's good news for me going forward, because if we can figure out legally that if you're paying taxes on a property, you're liable for it, whether you're an investor, a nephew, whoever, a family trust or whomever, that you're liable for that property. So anyway.
Yeah, that's an interesting loophole that occurred years ago when no one was thinking this would happen.
Well, I think they were... there again, lobbyists from the investors, right, and whomever.
But
it gave them 10 years a chance to sell the property and make a profit, or it goes back. Well, that doesn't help the neighbor that lives next to that particular piece of property.
Yeah, in that 10 years, they absolutely should be liable. Somebody should be liable. This is a safety issue as well in many communities.
Well, yeah. Fire alone, they could catch a whole neighborhood on fire.
Right, and they're not liable?
You would be.
Well,
I would be.
I'll tell you, in a court of law, I bet they would be too. But the point is that we don't want it to get to that point.
No, I just want the support of legal counsel.
Yeah.
Going forward, just because we need it to clean up. Well, the state of Arizona needs it to clean up some of these properties. And what frustrates me more is here we're living on 3% of our tax base. We have a lot of vacant properties. That are sitting there vacant because nobody can do anything with them, and we need those properties in good shape for people who work here that don't have to drive back and forth from Phoenix.
Well, sure, there is that, and even in some cases, if the properties were just leveled and a vacant lot was there, that would be much more aesthetic than things falling down.
Sure.
So
sure, and hopefully with Tri-City coming in. That would be a great step for infrastructure.
Sure. Some of those homes could be, because right now, of course, without Tri-City, it's possible that you can't do anything with them because of the lot size. But with that, you could do something. I'm absolutely aghast that this, and to me it's a loophole in a state.
It is.
This has never been addressed.
Yeah.
The idea that we have rogue property is really what it is.
That's exactly what it is. And darn it, some of the constituents are living next to that property and have properties like that in their neighborhood.
Absolutely.
And so anyway, we're going to try to fix it.
Good.
And so that was good. And so off of that, anybody got any questions? The number is
888-876-5593. After the show, certainly in less than a week, I get these downloads up on, the show up online so you can download them. I know a lot of people do. So, yeah. And I can't imagine they're just collecting Tim Humphrey hours for the heck of it. So, right. Why not be part of it now?
Right. Yeah. You're more than welcome to call in. And, you know, going forwards with the fairgrounds that I'm working hard on getting more going there.
Yes.
We now have got the bathrooms down at the arenas so that we can, you know, reach out. Hopefully for like junior rodeo finals and different activities in those arenas now that we have the bathrooms down there, and they're not porta-johns. It's a structure that's set and they're actual bathrooms.
And until now there weren't?
No, not down by the rodeo arena. Everything was done with porta-johns.
Oh dear.
But now we added that second arena, and so now we do have actual bathrooms.
Good.
Down there. They're not functioning yet, but they are being placed. We're going forward with the septic and sewer and things of that nature, and getting electrical over there for the second arena's announcer stand and lights and things of that nature. So we're making progress on that.
Good. Yeah, with electric and with plumbing, that pretty much is all you need.
Yeah, right up in the 20th century.
Right, right. No, exactly. Now, you mentioned septic. Are the fairgrounds septic dependent?
They are. Okay. They are at this point. You know, at some point, you never know what will go further. Mm-hmm. But yes, at this point, they are septic dependent out in that area.
Okay.
But someday there's a lot of property around there that if it could ever be obtained, then that would be a great place for infrastructure. And then we could see how, you know, what we could do or go from there.
Speaking of property around there, whatever happened with the old drive-in theater property? That was going to be a mixed-use facility, and then nothing really came of that.
Back when I was on the Industrial Development Authority, you know, we worked on getting all of that property turned into multiple use because it was just commercial property only.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we've had an investor that had been trying to work on that forever. Mm-hmm. And then there was the tax equity funding or whatever, where, you know, if you put so much money in, then it would give you a tax break for so long and things. Mm-hmm. And then Bill Bell, I believe, was his name. And so I was in a few conversations because that is city property, not county property.
Okay.
It's in the city limits. And so I was on several meetings with the investor and Linda Adonato and several other interested parties. And then, bam, you know, COVID hit and things of that nature. And so I have not heard anything on it. Okay. That's something that we might ask the mayor to get with Linda and get back. I hate to try to get into too much city business.
Sure.
As a supervisor. I think the world of Mayor Gomeros and Linda Donato, they're great people and we work well together. But if it's something to do in their area, I
didn't realize it was
city.
Up.
Yeah.
Didn't know it was
no,
city.
No, that's fine. Okay. But anyway, that belongs to Bobby Hollis.
Right.
And he would love for an investor to come in and work with that.
Sure.
And why Phoenix is growing the way it is, and we can't persuade one investor to come and do a project in Globe, Arizona, baffles me.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, not 100% does it baffle me. I think for one thing, like I've said before, the broadband is such that you couldn't say put a call center in here and things like that affordably.
Right.
It's just not there.
Right.
So that's number one. Number two, if you're talking about causing people to want to come to the area, the school systems are abysmal. And the rankings of them, particularly Globe, they're just horrible.
Right.
And so therefore, when somebody's looking, just like you talked before, that people who are commuting, some people who are commuting because of the infrastructure where they live, not here where they work.
Right.
And so I think until more is, and we'll also, let's talk about the crime rate, which is, for the size of the town, astronomically high here. And, you know, that makes it tough. There's so many things that need to happen. Now, that said, if somebody would bite the bullet and come in here, that's the way things turn around.
Comes first, the chicken or the egg?
Exactly. And so so I'm all for getting somebody in here, but in terms of why they don't, those are some of the things they look at.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. But like I say, I'm working... Yeah. To do what I can to help create infrastructure, because we have a lot of jobs. Right. And we have a lot of people commuting and spending their county earned check in another county.
That's right. No, you're 100% right. Well, you know, I don't know if you're aware of Mesa recently, because Mesa lost a lot of bids for right. a lot of different things that went to Gilbert or to right. Chandler, you right. know, Santan Valley. What they did is they're putting in fiber throughout all of Mesa, right. and they're allowing any of the providers, and ultimately it'll dwindle down to two or three, but right now it's about five or six, to hook up people. So already you've got Google Fiber in there offering you, 2 gig symmetrical. These are the kind of things that need to be happening here for somebody to say, oh, wow, I need to consider Globe Miami.
Yeah, well, what we need is FCC to put regulations on some of these corporations who are just gobbling up the big cities, that they need to spend X amount of time, energy, and effort in rural.
Well, good luck.
Well, yeah, right. I understand. But that, to me, that's something that I would be willing to support if I was at a state level or a federal level, because, you know, the rural areas, they need it too, because this is where everybody comes to recreate. And if we don't have communication or good communication, then that puts people in jeopardy in their recreation areas.
Oh, of course it does. One of the things might be for the providers that are here, making it non-exclusive. Because right now you got a franchise, you're the whole ball game. So
is there a ball game? No.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You wouldn't hear it. Yeah. But anyway, I think those are the directions that that the county should probably.
Well,
pursue.
we reached for a grant, and we are getting internet to all the libraries and schools in Gila County,
which is excellent. And hopefully, yeah. It's fiber and symmetrical. That's the real deal.
Yeah. It's fiber and so that's a start.
And it is symmetrical.
As far as I know.
Okay.
But I'm not a big whiz at IT stuff.
Yeah, that's the key.
But we can find out for that.
Yeah, please do.
Okay.
Because that's one of the things when you hear the ads for various systems, they'll always say, you know, gigablast or gigabit or whatever. Well, that's your download speed. You look at the upload speed and you're lucky if you get 35 megs, things of this nature. Well, that's so asynchronous to be a nightmare for a business trying to handle that.
Okay, so you want me to bring what back?
What I want to know is
the information.
Yeah, it's asynchronous.
Is it synchronous?
Yeah, synchronous, the grant.
Okay.
Sure. Okay. They're saying they're putting fiber to the libraries and the schools. All right. Is it going to be a synchronous connection, and what's the speed?
Okay.
If it's asynchronous, I want to know what up and down are.
Okay.
Because download will be good and upload won't. If it's asynchronous. But, you know, these are the kind of things that, again, the guy sitting at home, it's not going to matter. But for a business, you betcha they're thinking of this.
Right. Right. And... yeah, everybody's working on it.
Good.
It's just getting it in rural, just like housing, like road funding, just like everything else.
Sure.
You know, the HERF, 65% split between Maricopa and the other county, and we just sit here and split the rest of it.
Yeah, right.
13 directions.
Yeah, they send you 56 cents.
Yeah, to the point that the small counties and cities and towns get together and they all put it in a pot and, okay, it's your turn this year and we can spend so much on your project.
Right, exactly.
But and next year it's somebody else's turn. Yeah,
so you're right about that, and there should be a premium on rural areas. That's one of the things that makes Arizona desirable to many people, the fact that there are rural areas still, and there is land.
Right.
And so you bring that up to world-class standards, you'll have people, probably more people than you want.
Well, yeah, you're probably right. For some of us, we already got more people than we want. But anyway, you know, you got to create infrastructure.
Yes.
And when you're living on 3% of your taxes and the world keeps getting more expensive, you have to build infrastructure. You have to be creative. to bring in people from out of town and things to keep from having to raise property taxes.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, you could keep raising property taxes. We haven't for a lot of years, and as far as I'm concerned, we don't want to.
Right.
We want to be creative on how we can, you know, we can do it off of sales tax and things of that nature and small infrastructure projects.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And sales tax here is very high comparatively. So you don't want to add high property taxes to the list.
No, you don't. And adding things to the list, just to bring up, if you hopefully come January, first of the year, we'll be back with Dollar Dump Day.
Okay.
I talked to Melanie Mendez, the lady that runs our landfills, both up north and down here, and so she said that they were putting into ADEQ today because ADEQ has to give us a green light before we can use the new portion of our landfill.
Okay.
And so usually it takes 2 to 3 weeks. So if they put it in today, she said maybe December, but she says probably not till first of the year.
Well, let us know, because we were plugging that.
Yeah,
we thought they were coming back in October.
I thought they were coming back in October, and so did they, but then they ran into other situations that we had to deal with.
Sure.
And so that's kind of the way that goes. So anyway, hopefully all that'll be over in January. And they got scales in, scales out, so you'll be able to weigh in and out easier. But the thing of it is you got to cover your loads. If you go to the landfill, even before Dollar Dump Day, and your load's not covered, they're going to charge you $10 extra. So cover your loads. If you've got a pickup full of garbage, put a tarp on it. Because if you don't, they're going to charge you $10 plus your weight at the landfill.
Okay.
And everybody says, well, that's ridiculous. You keep charging us. It's like, you know, I was going over towards Miami today, and right there in front of Vonnie's Pizza by the railroad tracks, a big old 55-gallon trash bag come out of a truck with garbage.
God.
And I mean, there was just garbage everywhere.
Oh.
And if you'll take, you know, some of the roads to the landfill, all the stuff that blows out. And that is an ADEQ requirement. That's not a Board of Supervisors requirement. That is an ADEQ requirement.
Right.
But it is one I support because be responsible. Don't spread your garbage from where you leave your house all the way to the landfill.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, and other than that, you know, they're taking everything. It's just metal has a different place. Your electronics, like TVs and stuff, have a different place. Your car batteries, your green waste, and they're doing things separately. You know, if you happen to have a cow or horse or something that passes away, they will take it. And somebody and I was asked today if that's charged for it. And it's like, you know, I don't have that information, but the dump would, because I do know before you can take something like that to the landfill, they require that you call them ahead of time before you bring that deceased animal to the landfill, so it doesn't go in with just the regular trash.
In shock.
It's got to be
shock.
Well, yeah, I mean, unless you got property you own, where are you going to bury that horse, really?
God.
Yeah.
That reminds me of a story. I used to work for Gene Autry years ago at KMPC, and it was an infamous story about him. His horse, I guess it was Champion or something, died. And so, you know, everybody was saying, well, you'll do the taxidermy and all this stuff. And he found out what it would cost, and he said, bury the SOB. So,
I can imagine.
Yeah.
I can imagine. Yeah. Yeah, he really liked it until it was going to get in his pocket. And it's like, I can remember him without looking at him every day.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So, but at least he buried him. I mean, so, you know, obviously these are probably working animals, farm animals. You'd hate to think that someone's taking their deceased pet to the dump.
Well, I don't know. You know, people have horses and cows and chickens and goats and things, and I don't know, but any, you know, the larger animals I do know, or even, you know, dogs, I think you need to call
dogs
them ahead
and cats,
of time.
So in other words,
that you're bringing them up because they have a place where they put them to rest that doesn't mix them with all the garbage and stuff.
Well, good.
And you're allowed to take like 5 tires a year For no charge.
How do they know? Do they mark it down?
I don't know. That's just what I was told. But that's without the rim. If there's a rim in it, then they're going to charge you $5 per tire, because the metal, the rim, has to go in one place,
right,
and the tire has to go in another.
Right.
And if you don't separate them, then somebody
has to.
Staff has to.
Right.
And as far as liquids, no liquids. Like oil and things of that nature. And what do they determine liquids? You know, like a paint filter, that cheesecloth stuff that you pour stuff in and filter it. If it will go through that paint filter test, you can't take it to the landfill. But I do believe some of the, like Checker and some of those places, and I didn't check before, so don't mark my words, but I'm pretty sure that some of those places are set up to take oil. But the dump does not, and even paint, you know, if it's dry, they'll take it. But if it'll go through a paint filter, they won't take it. So anyway, there's a few deals with our landfill opening back up, but it'll be better in the long run for everybody. And so, like I say, I just wanted to let everybody know. I did the other day, and I was real responsible because I put plywood and stuff on my garbage, and I pulled up. But it wasn't tarp, so I got dinged.
Oh,
for,
wow!
I got dinged for $10.
Well. Yeah,
they come out of the little shack, says, you know, Tim, you know, you're not tarped, and it's like, well, I'll come back with a tarp on it. And she says, well, or you can go ahead, but it's going to cost you an extra $10. I said, charge me $10.
Right.
It's going to cost me that much in gas.
Absolutely.
To go back and get one of my tarps and tie it on.
Exactly.
And come back. So, yeah, let's just go that way. So. Anyway, that's the landfill deal, and the tunnel bridge is going great. I think that it's going to be open for traffic like April of 2024.
Great.
It's not going to be completed until probably June.
Okay.
I think is going to be the completion, but I think it, you know, there will be some traffic to be able to be on it as of April.
Excellent.
And then construction and everything will be out of there by June, and that's pretty much what the scoop is on that.
Excellent.
And what other note? Raleigh, I think that's about
it. That's it.
Yeah. Well, and
that's a lot of work.
Has anybody got any questions for me? And if they do, you're going to have to write down the number for next time, because
I think
we're about out because the mayor's coming in, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. But 888-876-5593. And also, if you go to kqss.net, not only can you get the download, but on Tim's page, and there's a link right on the homepage, you can get all of the information if you want to email Tim or call Tim or his assistant. It's all there.
Yeah, and if you got your pen out after writing Raleigh's number, mine is 928-402-4417. And if I don't answer, leave a message because it comes to my cell phone.
All right.
And I return all calls. Might not be that day, but I will return your call.
And tomorrow, of course, tomorrow morning, Board of Supervisors meeting at 10.
It is.
All right.
It is, yeah. And today I had a Roosevelt meeting, and there was like 28 people. Show up at a Roosevelt.
I know.
Meeting.
You see, that's the thing. Roosevelt, Tunnel Basin, they all come here. It's alarming to me. But as I say, I do know that the shows are downloaded. So, you know, unless they're collecting evidence, somebody is listening. So.
You never know.
That's
Raleigh,
right.
Thank you very much.
Right. Thank you. All right. So the Al Gameros portion will begin as soon as Al Gameros is here.
KQSS Miami.
His country and more. 101.9